So for those of you here interested in learning about virtual teaming, thank you for coming.
Good afternoon. First, I wanted to start with some introductions. I'm Cruz Saunders, and this is Linda Norman, and we run AresNet, which is a web firm based in Dallas and Austin, and actually with virtual offices all over the place. We've been around for 10 years as a company. Four of those years have been entirely virtual, so we've been running without a single physical office. Back when we started the company, we had a downtown office space in Dallas, Texas. We had 25 people. We were very dot-com cool. We had the foosball table. We had a pool table. We had beer parties. We had just a rockin' dot-com environment. And we were blowing and going until we realized that managing that much overhead was starting to drag down our ability to deliver services. And as the dot bust happened, we completely re-engineered the company. And we started looking at what was the most important thing we were actually doing as a company. And of course, it's our brain power. It's delivering services which involve designers, project managers, technology people, creative people, all combining their energy to deliver a product that ultimately was on the web. So we realized we had a lot of contractors and freelancers working for the company already, and they kind of had it good. They weren't commuting the hour a day and living in the office and dealing with the office politics. They were having a much better time. So we really kind of re-engineered our business around virtual teaming, and that's gone very well for us. Right now, we've got a core team of 12 folks with the leadership and our core production folks, 6 members of our extended team, and we're actively recruiting right now to extend our virtual team. We're very passionate about the topic of virtual teaming, and today we'll go through a little bit more about what's involved in virtual teaming. So let's go ahead and get started with an overview of what we're going to cover today. We could easily do a 2-day seminar on virtual teaming. There's really a lot to cover because a lot of it's really about how do you run a company. But how do you run a company without walls is what we're specifically focused on. We're going to go through a lot of stuff very quickly. This is a power session. As you know, we've only got a half an hour to go through this. A little less than that, and so we're gonna be hitting on all cylinders and covering a lot of stuff very quickly. When we do that, we're gonna hit topics at a kind of a surface level. We do have a lot more information, and we're gonna put together a virtual teaming resources packet. And at the end of the session, I'll give you an email address you can email for more information on that. We're also going to do a virtual teaming best practices roundtable, which of course will be held virtually. So if you're interested in that, let us know. I will give you that contact information at the end. Today we're going to cover strengths, weaknesses, tools, and best practices, and then Linda's going to lead us in a discussion about rising to the challenges. We hope there'll be time for questions. Let me do a quick poll of this audience. How many here are currently working at a regular office every day? Okay. Keep your hands up if you also believe that you could be as effective as you are right now working remotely. Okay, so we had a lot of folks working at a physical office, but only about half of them think that they could be as effective working remotely. And we'll talk about what makes a team effective in different places. How many of you telecommute at least once a week currently? Quite a few. Okay, so I'd say about 20%. How many of you freelance are involved in companies that are totally virtual? Okay.
Wow. That's a pretty good number.
That is a pretty good number. That's another
excellent.
About 20%.
More.
So let's talk about what is virtual teaming real quick. These are teams working across space and time, connected by technology and networks. Okay, the internet. Clearly that's something we're all doing in one way or another right now, even if we're in a cube. We're still dealing with email, We're still dealing with synchronous and asynchronous forms of communication that connect us to get our jobs done. Virtual teaming can mean a lot of things to different people. And for the context of this panel, we're going to be dealing with web firms, software companies, agencies, other knowledge-based companies under 50 people. There's telecommuting and flex work scenarios that are happening at CSC, at IBM, at all the big companies out there. They're all integrating virtual teaming into the way they work. What we're going to focus on right now are a lot of best practices that really can be applied to some of those larger companies, but we're going to focus on the small companies that want to leverage virtual teaming as a part or as all of their business model. Virtual teaming is definitely becoming a part of the new normal. You know, it used to be strange to work from home part of the week, but now it's really enabled at such a high degree of efficiency and effectiveness that it's over 80% of companies today do some form of virtual teaming as a part of their business. Let's talk about some of the strengths of it. First of all, clearly, as a virtual team, you've got access to talent. I don't know how many of you are managers in businesses where you're dealing with recruiting, but recruiting in this market, it is getting harder and harder, and when you need to deal with staffing up teams quickly, you have a lot more opportunity to add folks in an ad hoc way when you're able to virtual team, because you don't need to put an infrastructure together and they can be anywhere. So it's not just your geographic limitation to who you can find to put on your team, but it's also the world at large. And there's a lot of talented folks out there. You're also saving a lot of money. And this, we go on and on about the infrastructure and fixed costs you save, but that's clearly a big part of it. You're a lot more productive. In general, we found that productivity actually goes up. There's a lot of fear, and we'll address that during this, about what actually makes a team be able to be productive virtually, and if you can translate what works in an office to what works in a distributed way. And we found that you can, and we'll go through that. In general, you've got a happier team. A more productive team is a happier team, and also one that doesn't have to deal with all the stuff that goes on in commuting. And you also get a chance to reach new clients and have an expanded geographical presence without actually having to center all operations in one place. Benefits for individual team members: balanced work. They have a chance to work at their own style, their own pace. They get to be anywhere they want. We've had folks literally change states while they worked with us, and we didn't even notice. There's no cubes or office politics, and they get a lot more done personally. I'd like to take a look at the benefits for all. Now, virtual teaming is I think, going to save the planet, personally. When you look at the amount of unnecessary commuting that's done that spews a lot of carbon into the air, that is just hugely wasteful. That's unnecessary. There's a large workforce out there that you can expand opportunity to. What you care about is results. If you want to get your project done, you want to get your software built, you want to get your agency clients served, what you really care about is what happens to the client deliverable and what happens to the client result. You don't care necessarily so much about who you're working with outside of the fact you like working with them. And so you get to expand opportunity to people that are at home because of parent care, child care, disability, or other issues. Really, if they can provide business value to their business, you can participate with them. It gives you a lot more opportunity to access the contingent workforce out there. Being able to have flexible home lives, I also think, really influences the availability to kids and having stronger families. So it's a good stuff all around. Let's get into the weaknesses. Virtual teaming requires some serious management. In some ways, that can be looked at as a benefit because you have to get really focused on management systems and tools. But if you're not up to it, to managing the company with a lot of discipline, virtual teaming is often not the right thing for that company. It's difficult to foster team creativity, or it can be, and we'll go through some of the tools that will that connect virtual teams so that they can get their creativity game on. In an office, in a regular office, there's a lot of mind melding that happens in the hallway. There's a lot of discussions that happen and ad hoc communication. This is one of the biggest problems with virtual teaming is you don't have ad hoc communication. You don't have an opportunity to find out about problems and resolve them on the fly. And so there's a lot of lost visual cues and body language. And that's a real issue with virtual teaming. And we'll talk about how to get over some of that. Client perceptions. Are you a real company if you don't have a fancy office in a high rise somewhere? Are you real? That's a big issue. And maintaining a professional virtual environment means also maintaining a professional client image and brand. And we'll talk about that. Communication can break down in virtual teams. That's huge. We'll just keep going. Weaknesses, issues for the team. Now, this is hard, okay? If you're at home all day, even if you're isolated in your own office space that you've rented just for yourself, but your rest of your teammates are geographically dispersed, there's a sense of isolation that can happen. And that's one of the biggest fears with virtual teaming. So that certainly is a weakness. Cabin fever. Nobody likes to have the walls kind of start to encroach on them as they deal with working in the house all the time. And really, that takes a lot of management of the self to get over that. Communication again. And we got a lot of slides about communication coming up. We will definitely address that. Focus and overworking. Maintaining focus and also not overworking. Really, a lot of managers worry about underworking in virtual teams. How do I know my team is actually getting anything done? The real issue is overworking. It's not that the team won't do work. If you've got the right people, they're working hard, but they're working too much and they can burn out really easily and want to go get out of that system. We haven't had that problem. We found most people, if they can balance their lives, really enjoy it.
I'm going to jump in real quick. One of the things virtual companies are going to be most successful when you're talking about knowledge workers and people who are here at this conference. They have technical knowledge, creative knowledge, and those can also be the hardest resources to not only manage in an office environment, but especially in a virtual environment, because there's that engagement and that knowledge sharing and constant growth that needs to happen. And so that is one of the things that we're really focusing on, because we are looking at those type of companies being the most successful in a virtual environment. So that's partially what we're also focusing on in this.
Great. So let's go through some tools and some best practices. Okay, the basics of communication in a virtual company are about a pace. And by pace, we mean something that happens on a regular beat, on a regular pattern. Regular beats and regular patterns translate to predictability and translate to better results. So having the production meeting at 8:30 on Monday morning, having a daily team huddle, having your really solid, finance meeting every week, your management meeting every Friday. I mean, every time you've got a consistent pattern in place that people can depend on, it helps to anchor the actions. That's true in a physical company, but it's especially true in a virtual company. You need to have predictable patterns for people to hold on to. Having a home base helps. Now, this can be a physical home base, like an office space that you co-locate at sometimes. What we use is Regis Office Systems, and they're basically a global executive suite company. And we have offices that we rent in Dallas, and we have them in Austin, but we only rent them when we use them. And the good thing about that is you've got a place that you can go to that's a home base everybody's familiar with. It doesn't have to be the cafe. It doesn't have to be the let's get around the table at my kitchen table. It's a space that's a home base to meet. And it's nice to have that if you are in close enough proximity to meet. If you're not, having a virtual home base is also important. And that's like a collaborative infrastructure. We use something called Groove for that, and we'll talk about that. Agree on standards for instant messaging and communication. So really, there's so much that comes in terms of email and in terms of IM. If you and your team are all working on availabilities that are clearly defined, and you've also got clear expectations around what to put in your subject line of email in order to organize it, it really helps with getting things moving smoothly and everybody working together. Having a format for clean commitments is important. I don't know, was anybody here at the bootstrapping panel just before here? Okay. So at the bootstrapping panel, one of the things they talked about was making clean commitments with a commitment cycle where you send out the commitment, you negotiate the exact details of it, you set the very specific time that it'll be accomplished by, and then you monitor it and start that process over. So having a infrastructure in place or an agreement with your team members, whether they're freelance and being added to your team or they're part of your regular W-2 workforce, that you have a way of making clean commitments is very important in virtual teaming especially. Really, this is a management thing in general, but help your team with task management. Having a plan like Getting Things Done by David Allen, that's a format for managing tasks. Franklin Covey has one. There's a lot of different formats for managing tasks. It's good to choose one and to be able to talk about managing tasks with folks. Okay. Let's look real quickly at communication. Think about communication in a virtual environment as either happening at the same time, so it's synchronous, or it's happening at different times, and it's asynchronous. What that means is, you know, basically, synchronous communications are phone meetings, instant messaging, web meetings, desktop sharing opportunities, physical meetings. It's any time where you and your teammates are together at the same time sharing information. Asynchronous communication is connecting to the same information but at different times. So email, intranets, social networks, discussion boards, wikis and workflow systems like Basecamp and other places that help you to centralize your workflow for your virtual team. So those are the two major areas that we have to deal with when we're dealing with communication. Phone calls, especially incoming phone calls, you want to handle as professionally as possible and be able to get folks connected. So having a PBX with an IVR, Interactive Voice Response System, that will let you essentially route calls to people wherever they are is a must. There's lots of vendors actually out there on the market that do this now. Virtual PBX is the one we use, and it's very cool. It's got an ability to receive an inbound call, and each user can specify where they want that call routed. They can manage it themselves, so it can route different places and follow them around, and it'll leave a voicemail if they don't pick up the phone. You can also transfer calls between extensions, so you can pick up the phone call at your home office and transfer it to somebody else's home office. So Virtual PBX is a good vendor for that. Call Butler is another one that's out there. You can also mash up your own out of Asterix, which is an open source one.
From the standpoint of client perception, that is probably the most important thing. And what we've had clients tell us is, I did not even realize you weren't in the same office. I didn't realize that some of you were in different states. So having a professional phone system has really been the most important thing in overcoming that client perception.
It's important, yeah, that you overcome the flaky factor, which comes when you've got too many bits of information out to clients. If you've got 15 cell phone numbers that they have to keep track of, depending on who they're trying to call, the client doesn't have anything to really feel solid about. So that is important. And then have a way to meet on the phone. So we do a lot of three-way call chains where if it's going to be two, three, four people, or you're calling it three people and you're calling in a client, you chain together three-way calls. It can be cumbersome at times, and you can break your chain. That's why we also use conference calls. There's a service called Free Conference Call. If you type in Free Conference Call into Google, you'll come up with a ton of folks that provide the ability for you to meet. And we've actually created conference call numbers for every single one of our project leads, so they have their own kind of virtual meeting room, and standard meetings happen on those bridges at different times. Okay, so let's look at connecting the team. There's 37 signals. Base Camp, High Rise, and Campfire, there's a whole suite of ways to manage it. Microsoft, you've got Groove, which allows you to have peer-to-peer workspaces, like calendars, discussion groups, file sharing, meetings. It's the same thing as a Base Camp, except it's all peer-to-peer. It's not server-based. That runs on a PC, or you can run it in a
virtual
emulator. Virtual. Google has got a ton of new ways to share information as well, and we've also found that hacking your own intranet is a good way to do it if you've got the in-house resource. Desktop sharing is a good thing to do virtually. GoToMeeting is something we use. It's just really easy. There's tons of VNC clients. Microsoft has its own remote desktop service. So there's a lot of different options for sharing information and collaborating together. When you get the idea across, you can put together Camtasia, little kits of information about what it is you're asking somebody to do, and you can send them that kit. You can concept share, which is a site that will let you share media. And Mind Manager is a way to map information out visually and get those maps to somebody. And there's a lot to talk about in terms of all of these particular things, so we're just going to blast through. Sales, recruiting, and accounting can all be done remotely. Sugar CRM is a terrific sales management and pipeline and customer service management environment. We use Taleo for managing candidates and recruiting. There's accounting options with QuickBooks that are both online, or you can do what we do, which is our business manager actually has a physical machine that we remote desktop into with QuickBooks on it. Time tracking and invoicing services, there's a ton out there like BlinkSale. So let's do, we've only got a few minutes left, and why don't we in this time do a discussion on some of the major challenges that happen, and we'll walk through them one at a time. So creating real teamwork
in a virtual team, again, when you're talking about not having that hallway and those visual cues, as a participant or a manager in a virtual company, the most important thing you have to create is those virtual hallways and that virtual cue on how the company operates. And a critical part of that is your company culture. Your company culture has to be centered around results, not how many hours someone is in front of the computer. So you're going to have that trust in your teams that you've got. They're going to deliver the work. You don't care when it's done as long as it's done to exceed the client expectations and it's done on time and on budget. That is the most important thing in being able to have a successful virtual environment is that mentality within the management and in the team members so there's true accountability, true focus on results. Part of that is also making sure that you're okay, that they disappear for a little bit to take care of that cabin fever, and they're going to come back and hit that time. As long as they're hitting the client expectations, that's going to make you the most successful virtual company, and as long as you're focused on the results.
Part of that is onboarding your team and making sure not only you've got an idea of what you want your culture to be, but that when people come onto the team, you really give them a clear set of standards, and you also give them a clear set of expectations around what it is to be a part of your group. And those standards are key.
And we are actually out of time, but another thing, just one small part of the culture as well, you also have to a certain degree be willing to be a social facilitator, because people that are very successful in a virtual environment can sometimes be introverts, not socially outgoing, you have to create that team communication as well. So you've got to facilitate some of the social events also. We geeks are not necessarily known for our social capabilities.
An important part of that is also understanding that communication is part of the work. Designers like to think of themselves only designing. It's important to make sure that everybody knows that communication is a part of work, and getting the ideas across needs to be built into the time of getting a project done.
Since we have pretty much run out of time, we are going to make this available, but I know some people are going to be having to leave. We'll be around for questions before or after this if you'd like to stay and chat with us. We'll also make this available in case you need to run out, but we'll continue on through here. In talking about having virtual team members who are sitting at home in front of their computer, sometimes in their pajamas, they are going to get cabin fever. Let them get out. Make sure you get out and get fresh air and encourage that. That's a part of the culture. Also have team outing days. We went bowling, and our team still talks about it. It is amazing how some of those small little things can make a big difference and pull your team together. So make sure you keep those on your radar. That'll really help your motivation factor as well. And it'll also address one of the next things, which is your team communication in a social environment prevents things from just being thrown via email or a telephone call. And people follow up. They establish a communication. So it's real easy to shoot an IM and say, hey, I need you to throw this up on this page or change this content. You need to have a continual type of communication structure where it's almost like someone's in your office. They need to be able to send an email and then follow up with a phone call. Did that make sense? Do you need any help? When can you have that done by? Okay, I'm going to update the client. You need to get multiple types of communication dialogues going to make sure that nothing gets dropped and falls through the cracks. And I think the most important part, most of the people here and most of the people in information work, knowledge work, tend to overwork. They're workaholics. You have to make sure that you don't let your best resources burn out. And as a really strong resource, don't let yourself burn out. If you're prone to working all night, every night, quit, take a break, raise your hand and say, I can't do this, I need a sanity day.
A good way to do that is to set social or personal appointments. So if you've got to get to the gym to meet the trainer, you're more likely to get out. If you are involved in a volunteer organization, it'll help you get out as well. So all of those things are good.
Finally, it's really easy to lose visibility when you're not in an office and you're just looking at the network in general. Too little information can make it really easy to have foggy visibility. On the flip side, too much. Some people tend to want to micromanage virtual companies because they're not quite sure what's going on and they can't peek into an office. Too much information is just as dangerous as not enough.
Yep. And that's a real key point. Infomania is a real distractor, and when you send really long emails with lots of information, you might actually be getting in the way of getting your project done. So keeping it to the point as much as possible, and then following up with verbal communication or anything visual like Camtasia, little snippets will help to get things done, but not information overload.
We have some hallelujahs going on up here. Also, we talked about the problem, and this is the last point, I do believe. We talked about the problem of not being able to brainstorm in that conference room with the whiteboard and getting some of those great ideas. You have to recognize when a problem or a challenge really needs a different type of interaction rather than virtual, and find the right type of interaction to come to the right solution. And so that is a really critical part, either getting people together, using multiple different electronic tools to come to a solution. Make sure you don't overlook the fact that sometimes human interaction face-to-face is the most successful, and find a way to engage that.
Yeah, figure out when to get synchronous, because you can get a lot of things done asynchronously. So figure out when it is that you need to get synchronous and work together. And really, on a phone call, another tip is that if you've got people that are quiet and you've got a group of, let's say, five or six people on a teleconference, in an office you can point out who's being quiet and kind of help and solicit their feedback. But on a call, one way to do that is to set a round robin format where everybody goes through one at a time and kind of trades the baton to talk about their perspective on the issue so that the people that tend to be more quiet will get their views heard as well.
We've given a lot of tools. Again, really quick, we've run through a lot of information. We're more than happy to share this, and we're more than happy to answer any questions. When it all comes down to it, if you do a virtual company in a professional manner, as long as you deliver the results, your client perception of you is going to be that you are one of the best companies to work with, and they're going to recommend you regardless of whether you have an office space or not. So I see we have some questions. I know she's ready to kill us because we're so over time.
Can we go ahead and take some questions? Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
Thank you for those of you who
coming.
Live.
Does this work?
Yes.
Thank you.